So as we should do anything, we should open in prayer. So in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord God, open all these people up to understand, to hear their word, to hear your word. We thank you for bringing us together to celebrate you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Okay, next slide. So I have a key question for you, and I want you to keep this question in mind when you go to Mass next. And as you go through this session, who is God to you? I don't care if you're Jewish, agnostic, atheist, Christian. You all have a perception of God, whether that is God's not real, or God and Christ are real, or that God is real. Think about this, and we're going to come back to this question a bit later. But who is God truly to you? Be honest with yourself, because you don't have to share. But that's what the whiteboards are here for. Write down, and as I go through this, and if your perception of God changes, then change that. Change your what you wrote as it changes. So you can go to the next slide. My mission today is to have a relationship with myself with God, but then also to help you have a relationship with yourself or with God, because God is so great, and the relationship that I have with God has made my life so much better, and I want you to be able to experience that as well. So you can go to the next slide, Ken. So why am I here speaking today? What is it about me that makes my life so passionate for Christ? So when I was younger, I always had a passion for Christ, but I never acted on that. I didn't understand. I thought Mass was just a chore that you had to do. I thought that all of these aspects of our faith were just something you had to do to get to heaven. But I didn't realize that faith was something that you build on your own and something that is so great and so powerful. And so when I was 10 years old, it was the first day of Christmas break, me and my twin brother were running around in our basement, and I hit a ping pong table, my side. I got a little welt, and it kept growing bigger and bigger and bigger, and my parents were like, okay, we have to take him to the ER, because this is not a normal reaction. So we went to the ER, and it was one of the scariest experiences I had ever experienced, because I was sitting there, to my right there was older people drinking alcohol, and I didn't have a phone, I didn't understand what this was, and then we were moved to the children's room. There was a kid who was sitting there watching his phone out loud, and I didn't have a phone, so I was just sitting there and sitting there and sitting there. Then there was a family sitting next to us who had a baby who wouldn't stop throwing up. And so I was sitting there, and we were contemplating leaving after 4 hours because nobody seems to be calling us up. And then, right when we were about to leave, a man comes up to me and says, "What do you want to be when you're older?" A very simple question. And me being into musical theater, I answered, "I want to be an actor." And I answered that, and he said, "I see you as a priest." He said this with such certainty, with such a strong accent, I could barely understand what he was saying, but he was telling me I was going to become a priest and that I was going to spend my life preaching the word of God. He told me that when he was in war, he didn't have a relationship with God, he was not Christian, but he was hit by bomb shrapnel, and he was sent into a coma. Before he woke up from this coma, he saw Christ, and he changed his life. He changed his life for the better, all because of one man. We went on talking. I found out, number one, he's not from Maryland. He lives in Boston. He was visiting Maryland. And number two, he was there because his daughter had a nosebleed. Who goes to the emergency room because their daughter has a nosebleed? He laid out my entire life and told me all this with such certainty. And when I was called up, he then said, "Tucker, I think the only reason I was here today was to talk to you, to tell you this." And I know he was certain because a kid came up to him. The kid who was watching his phone came up to him and said, "Excuse me, sir, excuse me. What do you think I'm going to be when I'm older?" And he said, "Go sit back down. Now is not your time. This is very important." This random man was telling somebody that it wasn't their time, that it was my time. I didn't care whether God was working through him, he changed my life for the better. And my life has not been better ever since I built a relationship with Christ. And that's what I'm here today to do for you. Help you build a relationship with Christ to better your life. So Kenny, you can go to the next slide. So we're building a relationship with Christ in five steps. Prayer, scripture, mass, the Eucharist, and confession. And we do this because with all this comes great compassion from Christ. And we can encounter Christ through each one of these. So Kenny, you can go to the next slide. And this next slide is the Eucharist and the Monstrance. And this is such a powerful thing. And if you get bored during my speech, I don't want you, your brain to wander. I want you to pay attention to this. And I want you to pay attention to how the candles are moving, what's happening, what's listening in the gold. Just pay attention to that. So one of the main steps to a relationship with Christ is prayer. When you have a human relationship, you have to talk to them, whether that's your spouse, your girlfriend or boyfriend, or your friend. You have to talk to them to better understand what their world is like, to better understand what they like. You can't build a relationship off someone you don't know about. And so when you talk to God through prayer, you are learning about him and he is learning about you. And you start in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, because we are opening ourselves up to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. And this simple thing actually has so much meaning. And the simplest way I can put it is we come to the Father through the Son with help from the Holy Spirit. Just as we go to Mass to the Father through the Son with help from the Holy Spirit, we open ourselves up to prayer to the Father through the Son with help from the Holy Spirit. It's endless. Prayer is endless. You can talk to God for however long you want and say anything to him. But you have to remember that you have to give him thanks, because you are here today. He has given you life, and he will, if you follow him, give you eternal life. So we have prayer, and then we have scripture. God sets out his boundaries for us. Just like you have a human relationship, there are boundaries in that relationship. There are rules in that relationship to better that relationship. If you didn't have boundaries in your relationship with God, then your relationship would go to nothing. Because then you could sin whenever you want, and you could do anything and not spend any time with him. And just as a human relationship, that would not work. It would fall to nothing. That relationship would fail. So scripture helps us understand what God wants, the boundaries that God has set to better our relationship with him. So we have prayer, scripture, and then we have Mass. When we are in a human relationship, you live with your wife, and you visit your friend or your girlfriend's house, right? So when you do this, you are experiencing what their world is like, what they enjoy, and what their everyday life is like. It's no different with God. When we go to Mass, we are going to God's house to learn what he is like, to learn more about him and what he did for us, his sacrifice on the cross for us. And when you go to your friends, you often share a meal with them, just as you share a meal through the Eucharist with God. You receive God. You are bonded together through that meal, just like you're bonded together to Christ through that meal. So we have prayer, scripture, Mass, the Eucharist, and then we have confession. Actually, I want to go back to the Eucharist for a second. You might be saying, because this is the Eucharist right here, you might be saying, this is a piece of bread and it has absolutely no meaning besides a symbol. It has absolutely no meaning besides bread. But I want to tell you a story. This year, I was at Mount St. Mary's at a youth conference. 700 teenagers getting ready for processional adoration. And there was a girl with her friend behind me. And the girl said, "What is that? And what's inside of it?" She had absolutely no clue what that monstrance was. She had no clue what was inside that monstrance. All her friend said was, that is Christ, and that is the monstrance. By the end of this processional adoration, she was bawling her eyes out. Because just Christ's name, just the Eucharist, just this piece of bread has power. I have been to conferences with 12,000 teenagers on their knees sobbing like I have never heard sobbing before. All because what people think of as a piece of bread. All because this has power. And if you have never been to adoration, I encourage you to go to adoration. Because it is one of the most powerful things you will ever experience. If you go to adoration thinking that this is a piece of bread, I can guarantee you will leave changed. And you will leave happier. So we have prayer, scripture, mass, the Eucharist, and then confession. When you're in a human relationship and you do something against somebody, that bond, that trust is broken. Just like when you're in a relationship with God and you sin, that trust is broken and you have to go to, if you're in a human relationship, you have to go to that person and be like, look, I'm sorry. Will you accept me back? And will you receive me as it was before? That's just like confession. We go to confession, we say, God, I've sinned. Will you accept me back? Will you receive me? And God, in Christ, loving and merciful, dying on a cross for us, accepts you back because you have come and asked. So I've related all of these, except for one of them, to a human relationship. And you're probably wondering, how are you going to relate the Eucharist, something so powerful, to a human relationship? And I can only do it in one way. When you're married, you go into what is called, or you participate in what's called the marital act. And when you do this, you become one body with your spouse. Just as when you receive the Eucharist, you become one body with Christ. In an intimate act of love. When you do the marital act, you become one body with your spouse in the intimate act of love. And so we can experience Christ through all the ways we experience human relationships that are worldly. Because Christ was fully human, but also fully God. Okay, you can go to the next slide. Do we have time for the next slide?
We are at 21 minutes.
Left. Okay, yeah, we have time for the next one. So, this next slide is about making time for that relationship, because you can have all these things, and you can do all these things once, but if you don't act on them, if you don't keep doing them, if you don't spend time with them, they will not matter. They go to nothing. And so we're going to talk about making time for a relationship with Christ and how you do that. When I was 8 years old, me and my twin brother had a birthday party at a video game shop, and we invited all of our friends. And one of our friends, named Ryan, he gave us a Rubik's Cube. It was perfectly solved, perfectly packaged, and it was had a perfect stand. When we are born, we come perfectly solved, perfectly packaged, without blemish, without sin. Me being that 8-year-old receiving a Rubik's Cube, I ripped it open and tried mixing it up so I could solve it again. We do the same thing in life. We speed through life trying to fill a void, and we mess our life up because of sin. Trying to fill a void that can only be filled with Christ. And when I was 8 and wanted to solve that Rubik's Cube, I went to YouTube. I searched up how you solve a Rubik's Cube. The first video that came up was 3 hours long. And I am not watching a 3-hour video on how to solve a Rubik's Cube, because I was filling my life with things and I said, I don't have time. My friends, that is just how we are with Christ. We were like, how do I get that loving compassion for Christ? And then you realize, I have to go to Mass on every Sunday. I have to pray every night and morning. I don't have time for that. If we just take the time, if I just took the time to watch that video, I wouldn't have been able to solve the Rubik's Cube. If you just take the time to make a relationship with Christ, that relationship will be strong and will change your life for the better. And as you go about life, you will make mistakes because we are imperfect and we fail. I fail, you fail, because of sin. And when we do this, it's not about the sin itself, it's about what we do after that sin and how we try to make it up. If God sees that you're working to work to better yourself, then God will be like, look, Tucker, you made a mistake, but you're working to better yourself. You're working towards a relationship with Christ. And everyone is going to make a mistake, and that's why we have confession. And that's why we have the Eucharist, because without confession, without the Eucharist, without her, we don't have eternal life. Because we don't have a relationship with Christ. If you just take the time and spend it with Christ, instead of trying to fill a void that can only be filled with Christ, with other worldly things like social media or drugs or alcohol, then you will find that your life is so much better. We're working towards a life of love and compassion and a life after this life. And if we don't do that, then we don't have access to that life after this one.
You said that when we're born, we come, you're talking about the Rubik's Cube, and you said we come like unblemished and perfect. What about original sin?
So original sin, when we come down to earth and we're baptized, we're washed away and we're accepted to Christ, Christ's church. So we do that and we're perfect. Because a baby doesn't sin, because a baby doesn't have a moral compass or know what's right and wrong. Any other questions?
So out of all the denominations of Christianity, what made you choose the Catholic Church?
Well, I was born and raised in the Catholic Church. Once again, looked at Mass as a task. Didn't understand my faith until I truly accepted it and started working on my faith and started praying and praying and praying and praying. I'm still Catholic, and I love being Catholic. One of the main things, the reasons, because if I were to, since I've educated myself on the Catholic Church, and I've educated myself on other churches too, and I understand their concept, I realized that the church that Jesus Christ came down to earth and founded was the Catholic Church. And in Corinthians, I think I have it actually tapped, it says, Christ calls us to be united and to stay firm because we're Christians and we're the Catholic Church. And we're the ones who should be sticking together because people will come and prosecute you and tell you other than what is right. And it says, and there shall be no division among you, but you be united in the same mind and the same purpose. And so if God is calling us, if Christ is calling us to be united in the same mind and spirit, where's that going? That roots back to the Catholic Church, because if I were to take my phone out right now, which I don't know where it is at, oh yeah, it's okay. But if I were to take my phone out and ask Siri, who founded the Catholic Church, Jesus Christ comes up. If you were to ask any other church, some either conference or some other person comes up. So to truly stay united, to truly follow the Corinthians, we are called to follow Christ's church, which is the Catholic Church, handed down to Peter.